Good afternoon, everyone. I'm so pleased to see Aristotle making a comeback today after having perhaps an overdose of Socrates and Plato. I was born actually and raised in Alexandria, Egypt, and because of that, I have become a great fan of Alexander the Great, and partly because of that, I have also worshipped Aristotle a lot more perhaps than Socrates and Plato, with, of course, apologies to all the big Socrates and Plato fans. I also must say that I haven't quite forgotten or forgiven Athens for how they treated the great king. Of course, you know, the other reason for my preference for Aristotle is that he was, in fact, the scientist's scientist, and in many ways was the father of biology. He was also the first who studied biological diversity, which is one of the threads that shows up in the paper, in my paper for the dialogues. While he was on his eastward expedition, Alexander the Great regularly sent samples back to his old teacher, samples of all the various life forms he encountered, and Aristotle therefore can be perhaps considered the first cataloger of biological diversity. The message of my paper is that we are now living in the century of biology, and that this science, biology, biological research, biotechnology, and its many applications have undergone a major revolution that has been powered by the advances in DNA sequencing. Can I have the first slide? It's this genomic revolution that has made this transformation for biology. Sequencing has transformed it from what we consider a phenomenological science into a much more quantitative and rigorous pursuit, something akin to the innovation explosion that Robert Harris was referring to earlier in the paper of our absent participant and colleague. Much of that transformation, the transformation for biological research, is attributed to the highly visible Human Genome Project that I understand reference was made to it during this conference as well. It's very timely because the Human Genome Project delivered about 10 years ago the first draft of the human genome sequence. And science historians generally mark that as the milestone of biological sciences transformation into a more rigorous scientific discipline. There's no question that what the Human Genome Project ushered will make a huge impact and will lead the new era of both preventative as well as therapeutic medicine. However, I do believe that the much quieter breakthroughs in microbial genomics have also enabled this scientific revolution and perhaps have not received as much credit for that transformation. For example, the first ever sequencing of the genome of a free living organism shown in this particular science version, that of Haemophilus influenza in 1995 by Craig Venter, using the so-called shotgun sequencing approach, deserves significant attention and reference. As groundbreaking and as controversial as that approach and that proposal at the time was, it's interesting to note that all sequencing currently, this explosion in sequencing that we are encountering with many thousands of species now having their genome sequenced, including many humans as well, are mostly all performed based on this particular method. The breakthroughs in microbial genomics have given us a much better understanding of the microbial world and its wondrous diversity, and perhaps has given us the courage and, shall I say, the audacity to take over evolution, which is what we say about what we are currently doing at the bleeding edge of biotechnology, and deliver capabilities that I believe have the promise to greatly improve the quality of life, to solve many of the problems that humanity faces, especially in areas such as human health, improvement of clean energy, environmental quality, and sustainability. Microbes are, I will make a reclama now for microbes, because they are often shortchanged when one compares the efforts with respect to the human genome effort. Microbes are the virtuosos of the living world. They have been on this planet for over 2 billion years, roughly half the time that this planet has existed, but I leave that for my good friend and following speaker, Professor Nanopoulos. And during those 2 billion years, so much longer than how long multicellular creatures have existed on this planet, they have perfected most of life's processes. They make 60% of all the living mass of this planet. We as humans have 100 trillion cells, and on us and within us, there are another 100 trillion cells that join us in this voyage through life. And they are the microbes that exist on us and within us. And they are the ones that, in fact, keep us alive, that make us chew our food, help us chew our food, and also help us digest the food. We can learn a lot from those unicellular, humble creatures by mimicking many of their life's processes in the applications that we seek. The scientific breakthroughs that I spoke of, accomplished, for example, by many of the Venter teams, include the synthesis of entire genomes, as well as the transplantation of a genome of one sequence of one organism into the cell of another organism in this extremely sophisticated cartoon that I show here. And in fact, the invading genome using its restriction enzymes, I won't say very much, recognize the host genome as alien and thus chew it up. And therefore, the cell assumes, in a sense, the phenotype of the invading genome. This is what some in the cartoons in the US would refer to, if you remember, Calvin and Hobbes. It's a transmogrifier of this. As well as the ultimate that we accomplished this year, the ultimate as a first step in this new era of biology was, in fact, the synthesis of an entire genome and the booting up of a cell in which this particular genome was injected. This was celebrated appropriately in May of this year and has proved, at least as far as we are concerned, that proved once and for all that indeed the DNA is the software of the cell. We have progressed very rapidly from reading the genetic code, as was mentioned in yesterday's presentations, to writing the genetic code. We are therefore very, very confident that before long, we will have the technologies, as I show here, to transform our economies and our lives in ways that will secure a sustainable world, improve the quality of life, and the lives of our lives and the lives of future generations. Thank you very much.